Many of you have been here for Bible class. You've been here for worship. You've been here for a wonderful meal. You're fighting off that need for a nap. And yet you're here in God's house for more. This week we're talking about what every family needs. And so far we've learned about having a marvelous mother. We're focused on praying parents. And this afternoon I want to talk to you for a few minutes about being a faithful father. And being a good dad. It's a daunting challenge. And it puts a lot of stress on the best of men. There was a preacher's wife who took her overworked husband to the doctor. And as soon as the doctor saw him, he kind of pulled the preacher's wife aside and said, "Ma'am, I don't like the way your husband looks." She said, "Yeah, I know. I don't like the way he looks either, but he's been good to the children." It's a whole lot more important to be a good dad than being a good-looking dad, amen? Well, this afternoon, I want us to look at what it means to be a faithful father. Now, we've looked at this verse this morning, but I want to check it again. Ephesians 6, verse 4, that says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." What happens when you've got a dad that's overbearing and is heavy-handed? Well, Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Did you know that tonight, over 40% of America's children will be in homes where there is no father? And by the time they reach the age of 18, 50% of America's children will have spent significant time away from their dads. Now, in previous generations, a child could expect to grow up in a home with a father. Now, so many of our children just hope for one. And brethren, when history looks back to this generation, I think one of the great failures is going to be the absence of so many fathers in the home. Well, what happens if you don't have a father in your life? Well, boys who don't have a dad around, they never know what it means to be a real man. They don't know how to treat women when they don't have a father to be a model. How many of y'all remember the name Adam Lanza? Anybody remember the name Adam Lanza? That's the guy that in Newtown, Connecticut, walked into a school, he killed 6 teachers and 20 innocent children. This wasn't reported in the news, but I want you to know it. Adam Lanza was highly distressed before that murderous rampage, because his dad had really recently moved out of his life because of divorce. His dad had left home, and Adam's mother was having greater and greater difficulty in being able to handle her disturbed son. And Adam was disturbed because he was thinking his mother was about to put him into a mental institution because she couldn't handle him alone. I wonder tonight, how many of those people would be alive today, tonight, if Adam had a father in his life? Listen to this statistic. Fatherless children are 10 times more likely to commit violent crime than a child who grows up in a home with a mother and a father. Let me repeat that. A child who has no father in his life is 10 times more likely to commit violent crime than if he grows up in a home with a mother and a father. Dads, please listen to me. You make all the difference in the lives of your children. Statistics prove it. The evidence shows it, and God demands it of us that we be fathers to our children. Now, as you're looking at the book of Ephesians right there, these people have received this letter. They're Gentiles. They've recently become Christians. They had no idea what it means to be a godly father. They had never seen one. Paul is writing this to teach them, those men, this is how you be a faithful father. Now, men, when you stand before God on the day of your judgment, he's not going to ask you, "Well, how big was your house? How much money did you make? What was your golfing handicap?" No, he's going to want to know this. Were you a faithful father? Now, the first thing I want us to look at this afternoon is that children need a dad. Children need a dad. But what does it mean to be a good dad? Dr. Charlie Shedd held a contest called One Neat Dad. And he let children tell him what it meant to have a neat dad. And these were the winners. The children said, "Dad takes time for me." Dad listens to me. Dad plays with me. Dad lets me help him. Dad invites me to go places with him. Dad, this is key, Dad treats my mother well. Dad's let me say what I think. Dad, he's nice to my friends. And Dad only punishes me when I deserve it. And Dad is not afraid to admit when he is wrong. Now, Dad, I just would like for you to reflect for a moment. Would your children say any of those things about you? Your sons, your daughters, they need a man in your house that looks like Jesus Christ. But have you ever thought about, now, when you read the New Testament, have you ever noticed the children wanted to come to Jesus? Why? I mean, he was a big, muscular, robust fellow. He worked as a carpenter, had calloused hands from all that hard work. And yet children would buzz around him like a moth around a streetlight at night. Why did children come to Jesus? I think it was something like this. They saw in him a warmth, a tenderness, a loving touch. They saw his warm smile. I believe Jesus would get down and be silly with those little children, and they loved it. You see, that's the kind of men where your children grow up and look at you, fellas, as their spiritual champion. I pray that when your children look at you, that man, he's the strongest, wisest, lovingest man I've ever known. And I pray that when your children grow from this size up to this size, they say, I want to be just like my dad. Bob Stamps was a professor at a major university. But his most important occupation was being a faithful father. But Bob always had a very good sense of humor with his kids. And Bob is bald. Remember that. Bob is bald. One night, Bob and his wife decided to go out for dinner without the children, so they hired a babysitter. Now, this kind of scares parents when they hear this, but you need to hear it. When they were gone, the babysitter wasn't paying as much attention to the children as she should. She got caught up in some television program. When Bob and his wife walked into the house that night, they saw that their little boy, whose name was Peter Andrew, had gotten his father's razor and shaved a landing strip right down the middle of his head. Bob and his wife were furious. And he said to that little boy, Peter Andrew, I have told you never to play with my razor, and now you're going to get it. And little Peter Andrew said, wait till you see sister. They immediately ran to the next room. Peter Andrew had shaved every hair off his sister's head. She looked like a skinned rabbit. Well, Bob and his wife are, of course, horrified. And by this time, he's about to blow his top. So he grabs Peter Andrew and says, son, now you're going to get it. But just before he began bringing down the punishment, little Peter Andrew looked up at his dad with tears in his eyes and simply said, but Dad, we were just trying to look like you. When he said that, Bob said, there'll be no punishment for Peter Andrew tonight. Man, your children, they want to look up to you. They want to look like you. When your children are out with other children, you know what they want to do? They want to brag about how great their dad is. You give them that opportunity. You be the kind of faithful father that your children want to brag about all the time and everywhere they go. Y'all remember several years ago there was a book entitled Real Men Don't Eat Quiche? Well, there were some great one-liners in it like this. Real men don't buy flight insurance. Real men don't play frisbee. Real men don't call fair catch in football. And there was one other one going around about that time. It was about a light bulb. It asked, how many real men does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer was, none, because real men ain't afraid of the dark. I want to add one more to it. Real men lead their children to Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And every real man said, amen. Now, children, they need a dad, but also they need discipline. And we talked about this a little bit this morning, but I want to reemphasize this again. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now, you see that word provoke there in your text? Some translations say, don't exasperate your children. That implies, don't be heavy-handed. Don't overdo it with the discipline. Don't push your children so hard that they get frustrated and angry. That's what the word provoke means. That's what exasperation means. In Colossians 3:21, remember what it said? That fathers, don't discourage your children. And that's so easy for us to do, Dad. And as Paul is writing this book called Ephesians, and also the book of Colossians, he was well aware that dads then didn't really know how to be good and godly dads. See, in the first century, children were under the complete domination of their dads. And the Romans had what was called the patria potesta. That was the law of the father's power. Now listen to this. During this time, a father could sell his own child into slavery. He could make him work on the family farm like an animal. And what's worse, a father could sentence his own child to death and carry out the execution himself. All that was legal for a father to do to his children. Do you know what and who changed that? Jesus Christ and the Golden Rule, which says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It was Christianity that began to teach men, the question is not, what can my children and family do for me, but now, what can I do for my children and for my family? And no longer did fathers put unreasonable demands on their children, but learned what Jesus Christ would have them to do as fathers. Listen to it again in Colossians 3:21. Fathers, don't provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. You see, implied in that was that these fathers, they were probably punishing aggressively. They were probably pushing their children over the edge. And Jesus Christ had to teach them, said, yes, you punish your children, but there's got to be some limits to it. You can't go too far. You can't be overbearing. You can't provoke that child underneath unnecessarily. Now, why was all that teaching necessary? Because that was the way of the Roman world. And the Gentiles of that culture, they needed to be trained on how do I raise my son? How do I raise my daughter by God's standards? How do I become a faithful father? And again, I want to go back to Romans 22:6. Dads, you train up your child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, right there in the word train, I want to give you a little background on that. You see the word train? That's got the idea that your child has got his own bent. He's got his own way. She's got her own way of learning. And fathers, every child has got his own interests, his own abilities. And every child has got a way, or he or she is going to learn best. And dads, what this is teaching is this. You go and you find out, how does my daughter learn best? How do I reach them? How do I lead them to the Lord? Because every child's different. God has said again in Ephesians 6, verse 4, you fathers, please don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't be overbearing. But you bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now here's what this means. Okay? In matters of that which is right and wrong, that's found in the Word of God, we cannot be flexible. You teach your child God's way. If they go the wrong way, you warn them, and then you must punish them. Now, there can be no flexibility in that. However, the way we teach each one of our children is going to be different. And here's why. Every child is different. God never makes copies. You are an original. We all learn differently, according to our own bent, our own way. I've noticed in raising two daughters, with one, all I had to do was raise an eyebrow and she would comply to my will. She knew she was going astray. With the other, I would almost have to get a 2x4 to get her attention. I mean, every one of your children is different. They may look the same, but they're all different. Therefore, God has called us fathers. Now, Derek, you must learn the way your daughter goes best. You must train her according to her interest, in her way. Now, whenever you push your children too far, so often they'll get embittered. They'll be provoked. They'll get to the point of exasperation, say, and throw up their hands and say, well, what's the use? And dads, when you discipline, make sure you're not heavy-handed. And what I mean is this. Dad, don't slap your child for spilling the milk. Don't give them a whipping just because they say a cross word. Yet on the other hand, don't be afraid to give your child some discipline when they've earned it. Again, we looked at Proverbs 13, verse 24 this morning that says, he who spares his rod, he hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Another translation says, loves him and is careful to discipline him. So we do it promptly, mom and dad, but we also do it carefully. Dad, God knows that when you give physical punishment to a child, that's a violent encounter between an adult and a child. And there are times when that child needs it and deserves it. However, please, Dad, make sure your child understands this is not being done in revenge. Have them understand the idea here is not that my emotions have suddenly got out of control. Because, Dad, you can't hurt your children. You can do it physically. You can do it emotionally. But you can also do it spiritually. Be careful and how you discipline, but don't be afraid to do it. You see, punishment, it can be positive. That's right. Even punishment can be positive. After you've administered that discipline, go back a little while later and say, Susie, what you did was wrong, but I want you to know that I still love you. You put your arm around that little girl. You dry those tears. You let them know that Daddy loves you no matter what. So, yes, we all make mistakes. Even Daddy makes mistakes. The bad behavior is wrong, but I love you. You know, we were talking a few minutes ago about the storms that hit the coast here last week. You know, you think about all those houses that were destroyed. I love them for as far as the eye can see. But you know, those houses were destroyed, but not the homes. You see, as long as you've got a marvelous mother, you've got a faithful father, and those two people are praying parents, you always have a home because you're what makes it. Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to be talking about wonderful wives. Then Tuesday night, we're going to close with holy husbands. And I hope you can be here every lesson. Because in the end, you're going to see how every one of these lessons intersects and comes together. Every one of these lessons are going to come together in that last night. And I hope you can be there for every one. But as we close this afternoon, let's go to God and ask his blessing on all of our fathers. Lord, we thank you for giving us men in our lives who are faithful to you and faithful to us. Father, I thank you for these faithful men who've come this afternoon to hear more of your word. Lord, I pray that you would emblazon it into their souls, that they'll be the kind of men for their children that you call them to be. Father, we pray for every father in this congregation. We pray for every father in this country and around the world that we will be the kind of men that bring honor and glory to you and men who bring our children with us to glory. And Lord, we pray that you forgive us of those times when we've fallen short and we've not given to our children what they deserve. And Lord, we pray that we'd always be reminded that you call yourself our Father. Lord, help us to learn from you on how to relate to children. Father, this afternoon as we conclude this day, we pray for any soul who's here who's never become one of your children. They can't call you their father. Lord, I pray that this hour would be the moment when they decided that they're going to come home and let you be their eternal Father by putting on Christ in baptism. Father, we pray for those dads who are here this afternoon and they know they've not been the kind of dad that they want to be and you know they're not what they ought to be. Lord, give them the courage to come and to confess that to you and to the congregation, to their children. They're making a change to be the men that you've called them to be. And Father, we pray for those here this afternoon. Maybe they've just simply got trouble with their children and they don't know where to turn. Lord, give them the courage to come and allow one of the elders here to pray with them and to encourage them with whatever issue they're facing in their life. Lord, we ask this through your son's name. Amen. This afternoon, If you need to make things right with God in any way, we would welcome you right now while we're standing and singing to encourage you to come to Him.